welcome to the Press Start Podcast, Press Start Australia's weekly video game discussion podcast. I'm your host, Ewan, joined today by my fellow gamers and co-hosts, Shannon.
Hello.
And James.
Hello.
Today we're going to be talking about the next Resident Evil game, one of our favourite topics. Nintendo's next console and Elden Ring adaptations. Maybe we'll spend some more time talking about Elden Ring as well. But first, you'll both be pleased to hear that I've spent some more time with Donkey Kong Country 2.
You didn't talk about that in the pre-show. So
I saved it for the podcast.
Absolutely.
As we know, this past week we kind of drummed up a little Twitter beef. Me mostly just like antagonizing you, James.
Well, the rest of the community,
and apparently everyone else too. They were incensed that I described Donkey Kong Country 2 as old. But having spent more time with it and kind of gotten to grips with the mechanics a bit more, I am enjoying it more. It's not yet kind of clicked as to like what was so special about it, but
oh my god,
maybe we need to bear in mind this game came out like a year before I was born.
Why are you saying everything got better?
I think the problem is it's hard. Like, is it hard? Is that where you're finding it? Because I just feel like it is a lot harder than
I can appreciate that it was hard, but I'm definitely using what, like, the kind of save state thing on the PlayStation, at least you kind of scrub back. What's that called?
On the PlayStation.
On the Switch, sorry.
Yeah. You playing
Save states, what's it called?
Rewind, do you mean?
Sort of thing. Yeah. So that's good, because that's just like how we get through it a bit.
Can I ask? That's not me gatekeeping.
I got through like the whole like first bit in the first boss fight.
The bird.
I needed to figure out what the hell I was doing there. Turns out you can hold the throw button and like hold items before you throw it. So that opened up a world of potential.
Ewan. Fuck me.
I could switch between the two characters as well, and that also like
Where are we? So the second world is like the lava world, yeah? From memory?
Yes.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
Just try, if you can get to the end of the third world and then tell me that you still don't think it's amazing, I will let you rest.
But okay.
I genuinely feel like that.
I will
that third
fight
world
you
so good.
That like it is floaty, James. Like,
I don't think it's floaty at
it,
all. I
it
need
is.
People, like
when you jump, you're so slow to like gain
some
elevation and slow to come down. I want sharp movement.
I remember.
But, and you press like attack, and it takes like I swear like half a second for the attack to actually start happening.
I just
maybe you're using your PlayStation controller. And it's not
I just think
history.
Maybe I should download the dust out of my Switch.
Like the gap between my brainstem and the rest of my brain isn't as big as yours. Maybe I don't know.
I don't know. I'm watching it now, and like it could use a redo. I think like it does. It could be a better game. No, it is. It's a great game. It's timeless. But then again, it's our childhood, so it's just different.
I have to imagine at the time, like the graphics were kind of unbelievable.
Yeah,
like, they were. They made Nintendo jealous back in the day because it was just these, you know, rare. Like, these British people in a farm. In a barn.
Yes, like, quite literally.
Literally was
in the Birmingham countryside. I've been there.
And then these Japanese, the Nintendo was like, what is this? And then they got jealous. But yeah, I don't know. I think I played it like 2 years ago with a friend who like hadn't played them either. And I thought they were still fine. And he's like pretty sensitive to stuff as well. Like being old. And he thought it was all right. So
I feel like it would be fun to kind of play with you, James, and like you show you, like, if you go up here, you can get the secret and try this and stuff. Like, that'd be cool.
It depends. I get upset sometimes.
Yeah.
So
I did also fire up Metroid Zero Mission 2.
That's hot.
And I got through like a couple of upgrades in there.
Enjoying that?
But then, loving that. I actually reminded myself that I have played it once before. I think I downloaded it on 3DS, but I guess it was the original rather than Zero Mission. Maybe.
Might have been Virtual Console. Like,
But I remembered the first stage, and as soon as I loaded in, I was like, I think you go left at the start, and that was the big thing about that game, right?
I think every game now, though. Like, every Metroid game starts with go left. And that's, like, a cool throwback to, you know, what they were.
Yeah, yeah.
Because for so long, you just played a platform and went right. I know that sounds ridiculous to think about, but, like, that was the thing with Metroid. It was, like, so open.
Yeah. Shannon, so, yeah. You watching the videos of the game now?
No, that... Never mind, move on. That was me getting
up
excited.
A balloon or something.
The noise I make.
Yeah, I don't, yeah.
Aww.
you look, finish I'm, Prime, Ewan, before we move on?
I
obviously
did finish Prime.
What started
yes.
this
yeah.
whole debacle.
I'm very much having like a Metroidvania year. I'm loving it. The Lost Crown was awesome. What else did I play?
Animal Well.
Amazing. Yeah, went back, played... finished Prime Remastered. I've convinced my mum to play it as well, and she's making really good progress in the game.
That's random, but interesting.
yeah, fantastic game. So good. And now I'm so hyped for Prime 4 as well. I love, like, there's so much more to the story than I think people would appreciate from, like, a surface-level understanding of Metroid. I will say, I was disappointed by the final boss fight, though, James. Like, I thought the boss fight prior with Meta Ridley was great, but then when you fight the actual Metroid Prime, I was a bit like, this is a bit...
I'm excited for you to play. I hope they remaster 2 and 3, like, in a September Direct or something this year to get you ready for 4, because there are some
It'll
really
be
amazing...
It'll be, like, 10 years, and
there are some
it.
Amazing boss battles across all those games. Yeah. So
I would like to play 3, because that was the one on the Wii, right?
Yeah, it's the worst one, but yes.
I definitely played a bit of it, though, but I don't think I finished
it. It's so average compared to the first two, but, yeah.
It was the kind of game I played when I was like, I want a first-person shooter because my elder cousin plays Call of Duty, and that looks rad, but I'm only allowed M-rated games, so I will get Metroid on the Wii.
Yeah, right. Well, that opening scene was, like, COD-ish. It was the beginning of the end, but yeah.
Yeah. See. Look, I'm definitely stretching out this cold opening, but James, I do need to ask you about the Elden Ring injury that you got. Do you want to share that with the class?
Not really, but we can. So I played Elden Ring, as we all know, Shadow of the Erdtree expansion, as we discussed.
Yeah.
And obviously I was talking about difficulty last week. And this week, I really felt that because I spent a solid 5 to 6 hours on the final boss. And I'm really stubborn. Like, it's my own fault. I don't summon. I've played with the same build from the beginning of my Elden Ring journey to the end. Like, I've never respect. Yeah, so all of my mistakes are my own, and I own them. I don't know why I've made it so hard for myself, but anyway, because of that, I was playing for 5 hours very intensely. And I woke up the next day and I was like, oh, something is wrong with my finger. Like,
I don't like believe it still.
Yeah.
That's what Shannon, caused it. I feel like you play enough games enough
so
that your hands
I was talking
would
about,
withstand
I was talking
anything.
About this. Nah, but
it's
I don't. Yeah, it's the gripping of the controller, like, because you're so hyper focused.
Yeah.
I was saying to you, and the last time this happened was 2013. So, with Dead Space 3 and Metal Gear Rising. So, yeah, I'm better now, but I haven't played games for a while. Like, I've taken a good 5 to 6 days off. Was worried that I might have to get it cut off at some point. So, what do I have to get amputated? What if I permanently damage my finger?
Elden Ring, like, legitimately hurt you. Have you beat the final boss now?
Yeah, I did. I did it, absolutely.
Nice.
Of course I did.
Duh.
But I was playing, like, if anyone knows, like, I was playing Intelligence Build as well, and I feel like this DLC is really not for Intelligence people. So, yeah, if you're playing Faith or anything else, you're going to have a better time than I did. But yeah, really good. Not as good as the base game, as I've said before, but worth breaking a finger over, almost. So,
and did you kind of still agree, because last week we were kind of talking about it being too hard, like, given it took you that many hours to beat the final boss, like, do you still feel the same way about the game, or is it in a better place now, post-update?
Yeah, I still think it is, like, pretty tough, but I feel like it's just a very steep, like, at that first 5 hours or 10 hours or whatever, I do feel like it's very unforgiving. But once you kind of find your groove with it, like, I think it's fine. You know, like, I don't think it's that bad. I still spent longer on pre-patch Millennia, like, in the base game. So, that final boss, man, I agree. Like, I think it is one of the hardest they've ever done. Something's just so aggressive.
I did watch some gameplay, because I'm not kidding myself, I'm going to get to playing the game myself anytime soon. And yeah, it looked pretty nuts.
That's pretty fucked. He just keeps coming at you, like, non-stop.
The aggression's nuts, yeah. And, like, massive, like, area Sekiro. Of effect attacks, too. So, like, you got to keep a distance, and, like, how
and
you
then it gets
to
worse,
get to
like,
him and land
halfway
an
through,
attack.
Like, before. It gets way worse. Yeah. Like, yeah, but anyway.
It's unreal. Has anyone played any of The First Descendant? This is the other thing I want to discuss before we really get into the news. Are you following the discussion around The First Descendant?
I have had two people reach out to me about playing it.
Okay.
I've yet to approve the requests. But,
they're in your in-tray.
See where it... literally. I'll see where it fits in my busy schedule.
Yeah.
I have said to people, like, once I'm not injured, I can probably give it a shot. But I have heard good things.
You liked Outriders, right?
I did. I like Remnant. Is it like Remnant at all?
I didn't get around to playing Remnant, but I imagine so based on what I've heard. It certainly reminds me of Outriders, that's for sure. Like, it's very kind of just paint-by-numbers, kind of looter-shooter, but with, like, pretty solid gun play mechanics.
Is it free-to-play or no?
It is free-to-play, which has kind of become a point of contention, because although I'm just deeply suspicious of
free-to-play things now. Like, I don't know.
Yeah, that surprises me.
Suspicious?
I haven't paid that much attention. I've been able to, like, get away from it, but there is supposedly, like, a ton of monetization in there.
Microtransactions. For skins or guns? Or what?
A bit of everything. And I think the characters as well. Like, you're presented with three characters at the start that you can pick from, and I believe, like, whatever you don't choose are then put behind a paywall. I've just kind of heard that anecdotally. That's not been my own experience with it, but, yeah, look, I've had a good time with it so far. I'm like a few hours in. Already the missions are starting to feel a bit repetitive. I'm looking for a bit more variety in some of the boss encounters. But like, I think the kind of world and the story is like serviceable in terms of keeping going. And the progression loop is kind of strong enough that it's like maintaining my interest for now. But it is still pretty early days. I was curious if either of you were keen to give it a go. Optimization is a problem.
Yeah, it looks janky, I must say.
Yeah, I mean, like, it's a free game, so, like, you've got to give it a pass for that, I think. And I guess, like, you can somewhat forgive it for that, maybe.
Okay.
But we'll see. I was playing on PC, the mate I was playing with was playing on PS5, and we were, like, experiencing frame rate drops at the same sort of time. And, for me, it was, like, properly locking up at points where, like, the screen would freeze for a solid second or two. So, virtually unplayable. I managed to tinker over the settings enough to kind of get it going, but it was, like, a matter of finding the sweet spot rather than just, like, downgrading it. Yeah, it's another one. Anyhow, we really should crack on with the news. And because I've not heard enough from Shannon yet, I'm going to start with the Dead Rising Deluxe Remaster and get your feeling on this. We spoke about it a little bit last week, but that was, of course, before the Capcom Next presentation happened. They lifted the lid on the upcoming remaster of the original Dead Rising after teasing it, and it is indeed launching September 19th, as they confirmed prior. We've got to look at the game, though, with the gameplay trailer that they showed. What did you make of it, Shannon? You excited to go back into it?
Yeah, it looks great. I think it's one of those things where, like, this is how I remember it looking, like, just from watching this, but it's not. And then you go back and play it, and it obviously doesn't look like this. So, yeah, it looks fantastic. I think we spoke about it last week or the week before. Like, loved this game when it came out. Loved how inventive it was. And I'm really keen to go back and play it. I was kind of hoping, like, they'd maybe self-drop it or something. I still don't really understand the announced schedule of this one, but yeah, September. Already July, which is crazy, but I can't wait to go back. I think a lot of people are going to be playing this for the first time, and I hope that it does well enough to them continue the series, because it's a good one.
It sounds like kind of the direction the series headed. It's kind of probably ripe for a bit of a reboot and a reset. Did you get into the later games?
I played them all. I don't remember a lot about them. I don't know that this one had something special about it. It was set in a mall. I'm probably going to be way off, but I don't think the others were set in, like, a mall in this kind of situation, were they, James? Or were they all set in a mall? I can't remember.
No. So first one was a mall. Second one was Vegas.
Yeah.
Third one was...
Third one Mexico or something? Or am I totally making that up?
The world... It was like an apocalyptic world. Okay. I don't know if it was Mexico. I think the main character was Mexican, if that's... Okay. The fourth one was like a mall during Christmas, and it was like a really desperate attempt to like go back to what the original was, but it was shit.
Yeah. I think we've spoken... What made this special is like you could pick up anything, you could go into anything. Like it felt like a really lived-in... mall experience that had been taken over, and I can't think of anything else that has done it this well apart from like maybe GTA, but even not as well as this in my opinion. Yeah. Like it was just super interactive, and yeah, I just think they moved away from that a little bit too much and just played into the wrong areas. I guess you couldn't just keep doing it in a mall, so I'm not shaming them for trying something different, but this one was definitely special. And even watching it again now, like it just, you can tell that there's nothing else like it on the market, even though there are more zombie games than there were when this came out. I'll stand by that comment.
But yeah, this one's kind of got like a unique flavor to it, I guess.
Yeah, it's just fun. Like, I want to play it right now. And I think I was telling James, like, not a lot of games get me excited in that way anymore. Like, I don't really want to play Elden Ring and, like, spend hours in the same boss or spend hours without doing anything in a game. Like, this, you pick it up, it's just pure fun. You can muck around, you can accomplish nothing, and it's still, you're going to have a fun time with it. And I just don't think there's many games like that anymore.
You don't have long to wait. Like, September's going to be around in no time.
I'll be waiting.
And already I feel like that month is kind of like filling up with a few releases too. James, are you pleased to see the RE engine kind of being utilized again as well? Kind of teeing up our next conversation as well, I suppose.
Yeah, I guess I wouldn't expect not to use it. Yeah, it doesn't every game there's use it now. But
it's just a great question, engine. Ewan. Pleased to see it used. Speaking of Resident Evil...
We can
move on. Did you want to answer the question? You just insulted it.
Because it was a weird question. I'm just going to talk about the game. I think it looks really good. I'm glad they stuck to their guns. There's still a timer. I'm surprised they haven't cracked it open and maybe added co-op or something. But I am glad that it is the original game. Just looks better. I love the RE engine aesthetic. I feel like it has a vibe to it that's like very... Like, if you look at all those games together, they look the same in a way, which is really cool.
Yeah.
And like Shannon said, and I agree with him, like, even though he kind of stepped back a bit from it, is like, I do genuinely feel like there is nothing like this. Like, there's so many zombie games that have come out since, but nothing's really touched kind of the fun goofiness that Dead Rising gives you. So I'm excited. It's really cool. When you pick up your first katana in that game, like, it's such a
time. I'm shocked they're going with remaster, because I feel like, I don't know, it feels remade. I can't see how it's not remade, given it's running on a different engine.
In my humble opinion, I feel like Capcom is using the word, correctly. Like, it's the same game, just souped up. Whereas a remake is, like, you know, building again from the ground up, you know? Like, you will still
hit. I feel like if it's on a different engine, it has to be remade. Like, you can't remaster
engine. I don't even want to talk about this anymore. Like,
I did one trimester in game design. What do you have to bring to the table?
I have real experience from the school of hard knocks.
Look, I'm complimenting it because I feel like it's more than a remaster. It's probably somewhere in the middle. Like, it's not a remake, it's not a remaster.
Because everyone looks at games like... doesn't matter what other games we could talk about. But, you know, like, in terms of... It's not like Resident Evil 4, where if you play those two games side by side, like the OG and the remake, they go in pretty different... Like, similar but different directions, right? That's the difference. It's not... Whereas with this, it does look like it's the same survivors, the same beats. Everything's exactly
the
same.
Not the same voice actor, though, so...
I mean, I don't care about that. Like, people, you know, it's time to move on.
I'm gonna make a quick pitch. I think what we should do, right? We have the remaster, which is just like kind of, you know, up-resing a game, basically. Maybe chucking in some new textures, making it
like...
Nah, a port is like taking it from one console to another, or PC to a console, or
that's a port.
That's what I'm saying. What a port is. A remaster is like you can buy upgrading the visual fidelity of the game. A remake, I reckon, is like ground up. We're remaking the game one for one with all of our latest tech and stuff. I feel like we need a third tier, which is like a reimagined kind of thing. And where, like, you put your Resident Evil 2 you put your Final Fantasy VII, you know, those kind of things.
I agree with you, Ewan.
We're doing the game again, but with a twist. We're doing
what if a game is that perfect that you just want to remake it with new graphics, but you don't need to change anything? Like The Last
of
Us.
That's part one, part two, in my mind, a remake should be. But the term remake is being co-opted. It's actually a reimagining. There's my pitch.
I agree. Anyway, let's move on before... on that note, final. I'm excited for this. I like Lost Planet. Like, I loved Lost Planet games as well. Like, they were some of my favorites.
Do you want a remake or a reimagining of those?
Why not both?
All right. What was next? What else were we talking
Resident
about?
Resident Evil.
Resident Evil. Resident Evil 7 director Koshi Naganishi will direct Resident Evil 9. It has been confirmed. Hopefully I got the pronunciation correct. That was why I was pausing a little bit after the name. James, coming to you first on this. What direction would you like to see them take Resident Evil 9? Considering everything we kind of know, I guess, about like the Ethan Winters story from 7 and 8.
I don't actually know. I don't know what I want. I think all I want is maybe something like of the last two original games, like between 7 and 8. Like, I definitely want something closer to 7, just in terms of the horror of it.
So it excites really, you to have the director on board for this then?
Yes. Which is funny because like he made the game that I hate the most as well. So like he directed Revelations 1. I can't fucking stand it.
Really? Why?
Because it's just so like the characters suck. It's like trying to be horror, but it's not. Like it was in between like RE5, 6, and 7, but it was before 7 existed, right? So like I don't know. I think people like it just because it was closer to the old ones, but it wasn't. Like it's just shit.
I liked it.
Like. No, it's awful.
I liked it for what it was on, like, the DS. It's like the DS.
Irredeemable. But, pre-DS. Like, I think... Yeah, I mean, amazing tech for a DS game, obviously. But anyway, not the point, not what we're talking about. But I... yeah, I think it's great that he's directing this as well. And I feel like it's also great that he's really talked about what didn't work for the series, between 6 and 7 especially.
Yeah.
So, like, it makes me really, like, I guess, confident that it is in good hands. People are, I don't know if you guys agree or not, but a lot of people are saying that they should really just ditch all the old characters and start fresh. I feel like they were definitely going that way with 7 and then kind of chickened out last minute.
When did they get introduced? Was that in the DLC for 7 or did that happen in the base game?
When did who get introduced?
Chris.
Chris. When did
Chris was in the ending of 7.
7, yeah, okay. Oh, and then you played as him in one of the DLCs, right?
In the free... There was a free DLC afterwards.
Yeah.
And then, obviously, he was in Village as well.
I get both sides of it. Like, I love that there's a deep lore for people like James, who, in his Resident Evil t-shirt, wants to soak all of that up. it doesn't really do anything for me, personally. Like, I love from Resident Evil 4 onwards. Like, I don't really have a care for Chris and stuff, so I don't know. I don't feel like it leans too much into it to the point you can't enjoy the games, though, either.
Yeah, I agree. Like, and I love... But that being said, like, I think the story that Ethan and Mia and stuff followed from 7 to Village was really good.
Yeah.
And I think there was, like, the kind of theories... Like, even, like, I could talk to Shannon about the story, which was rare for me to be able to do so. But, like, we had, like, theories when we were going into Village and stuff, and that was, like, exciting. That reminded me a lot of... back in the day when 4-5 was coming out and there was a lot of theories and stuff going around, and I really missed that from games.
Yeah.
Because a lot of games I feel now are like, you don't have to replay the last one because they're scared people won't buy it. Like, it just seems to be always the thing.
Yeah.
So I really hope 9 still has returning characters. I'm still sticking by my guns that it's Jill and Leon because I feel like they haven't been together before and they're both very popular characters.
Just to put a split in that, I do think they need to remake the original one again as well. I know it's been remade and everything's been remade and remastered and reimagined at this point, but I do feel like the original one, like, I've never played it, like, and I don't really want to in its current format, honest.
I think you should try, maybe.
If I'm playing Donkey Kong Country 2,
I'm not
going to
get through it, yeah. But don't you agree? Like, that's where it all started, like, no, I know the story from the movie.
In a way, I agree.
Is it really consequential to this this might be blasphemous, but like I feel like playing from two, like you kind of follow enough of like what's happened.
Nah, so what happens is like pretty much like, so Resi 1 is like Jill and Chris, Resi 2 is like Claire and Leon, right? Yeah. So they're already kind of following two different characters. But 2 is taking place kind of during the aftermath of 1. Yeah. So like Claire is looking for Chris, right? And something happens in 1, which I'm not going to ruin for you, because you might play it one day. And that kind of sets up a bad guy who carried through the whole series across
I've seen the movies, so I know.
Oh, don't. What happens. Oh, my God. That's not the
actually,
same
maybe that's
at all.
Why I'm thinking I know
the didn't we together.
Anyway, anyway shut up. So, like, obviously, like, across those 5 movies, there was a villain, and that's why I think a 5 remake maybe kind of isn't the right idea when there's 2 games kind of before that could really feed into that.
I love that you said 5 movies instead of 5 games.
Did I? Sorry. Yeah. Well, that's because... I don't. It's not inconsequential, is what I'm trying to say. Well, I feel like there is a very good plot thread throughout all of them. Kind of weird and over the top, but, like, genuinely quite compelling at the same time.
Going back to RE9, I'm super excited for it. Like, Resident Evil 7 was kind of my in point for everything Resident Evil at this point in time. Like, I went back and played 2 and 3, and then, obviously, Village as well. I don't think I was as down on Village as people kind of seem to be now. Maybe it's kind of a bit, like, revisionist, but... people seem to kind of have more criticism for 8 kind of like in the years afterwards.
Yeah, I think because obviously the last third, I should say, is very action heavy.
Yeah.
Right?
I think the game's bloated.
I think it was a fun time.
Yeah. The highlights of the game kind of come earlier. But I loved 7 kind of leaning into the Southern Gothic sort of horror, and then you kind of had it leaning really heavily into like European folklore in 8. Yeah. Like, I kind of hope they do something similar, like thematically, where they kind of lean into the horror theme of like a different
Singapore, so it could be like, you know, Asian folklore in a way.
Yeah, cool.
I think potentially.
I reckon that'd be super interesting.
And
as for like the other characters coming in, like I like the sense of there being a bigger story and the games all being interconnected, but I don't think it needs to be too heavy handed than that. Like, if it is kind of a cameo later in the game or something, I think that's probably sufficient.
But even Chris in Village, right? Like, if you didn't know about him in older games, which, like, I'm trying to think, Ewan, have you even played a Chris game yet? I don't think you have, right?
No.
Because you played 2, 3.
2, 3, what he is in 7.
And 4.
Yeah. Is Chris 5? So I can't even remember.
Chris is, like, 1.
Oh, sorry, I have played 4 remake as well. Is he
Chris
in 4?
Chris is 1. He's in, no. So he's in 1, Code Veronica, and 5, right? So, So, like, for him to be in, 7 and 8, like, even though he has, like, quite a main role, especially in Village, he doesn't... you don't feel left out, if that makes sense.
Yeah. Yeah.
I didn't even think about that. Like, there's no remakes with Chris in them. It's really odd, now that I'm saying it out loud.
Yeah, he's kind of just, like, a side character, really.
Even though he's, like, been the most prominent returning character in 7 and 8.
Obviously... we're definitely wading into spoiler territory for Village, but, like, presumably Ethan Winters won't play much of a role, if any, in 9.
He might, though.
We don't know for sure, right? That was kind of left open.
Yeah, I suppose.
I feel like there's
there was the theory
the
about, like...
works in mysterious ways.
Yeah. There was, like, theories about the character at the end of, like, in the final cutscene potentially being in because they moved the camera out or something, right?
I feel like the DLC closed that book.
That's
though,
what I was
going to
say.
Hard, right?
Yeah,
I haven't played it. I need to
slammed it shut on your fingers, Shannon.
But so, but like maybe the Mega My Seat, the idea of that like gets explored more. I'm done.
Here we go.
Surely
we've
you've got a lot.
About,
like,
we've started
I'm
talking about the Mega My Seat. It's over.
Evil.
No, that's good. See, that's what I love about Resident Evil. It's like. This is going to sound like so boomer, but like I was talking about shit like the G virus and the T virus and the T Veronica virus on forums, like you are now you, but like that's what was exciting about it, and that's why I kind of hope they don't just ditch all the lore. Do you know what I mean? Like, because you've got all of that knowledge to theorize on top of. But
I think it sounds like the director's kind of got an exciting idea behind the game. He kind of indicated as much. I think like that. We haven't really touched on it here as well, but the insider Dust Golem kind of took to the internet to kind of talk about some of the leaks, tipped the game to be releasing in early 2025, which is kind of surprisingly soon. I'd be surprised if that were the case. But they added that the development of the game started in 2018, so some time ago, in theory, with the intention of it being the eighth game, but that it was then pushed back as Resident Evil Village developed to be more than kind of a spin-off game. It became a fully fledged thing. So that kind of that excites me as well. Like, assuming that's true, although, you know, Dust Golem does have you know, some reputation behind them, like, that excites me that this is a pretty, like, fleshed out game that's had a lot of time sort of put into it and a lot of thought put into it. So yeah, excited. We better crack on though. there's more topics to discuss than I thought we had today. Nintendo is making sure there's enough Switch 2 stock to combat scalpers. So they've kind of come out and said that in an effort to combat scalpers, they're going to make sure that they've got enough stock on hand to kind of meet day one demand, which is a bit of a change of pace, I suppose, because I don't remember it with the Switch as badly, but certainly like when the PS5 came out, that was a nightmare. I think the Switch was, but maybe to a lesser extent. Granted, it wasn't contending with COVID in the same way that the PS5 was. Shannon, do you think they can outweigh the demand that this console is likely to have?
The first one was really popular, and I don't recall that selling out at all, to be honest, which is, yeah, kind of...
The Switch?
Unusual compared to... Yeah, the first Switch, I don't remember selling out at
maybe
all. I might be wrong.
Maybe we had a better time of it here than other countries did. I don't know.
I think, yeah, I think we did.
It probably did sell out, but it wasn't... Like, you just went on like a second list and then waited. Yeah. Like, it wasn't a year without being able to buy one. I think there will be significant demand, but I think that all the parts they're using aren't in shortage. I think that's where Nintendo have a lot of luck, and I think, yeah, we don't need to go into it too deep, but like the PS5 and the Xbox launched at a time where part shortages were a thing, and just insane demand that I don't think we'll see here, to be honest. And I do think they've been working towards this launch for the last 18 months, and Nintendo will want to have a Switch for everyone that wants one. So I think they'll be well prepared for it. It's been a long, 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 long time in the making. Mm. And I think that they will have been working towards whatever date they are with good reason and wanting to move as many as they can. So I trust in that.
Given this is like tipped to be a more powerful console, like, do you think it can kind of maintain being like a lower cost console compared to the likes of a PS5 and Xbox Series X?
Yeah, I think Nintendo's in a unique example, even compared to definitely Xbox, but even PlayStation, in the sense that, like, we know and we've spoken about how they sell all of their games for $80 and no one really questions it, and they're selling millions of every game, and or like 10 to 20 million of more popular games. So, I don't know, Nintendo's a weird one where the Switch has never really dropped in price. Like, it's had sale drops, but, like, if you were to buy a Switch now, it's still $400 to $500 8 years into its life cycle. So I think they will not go too much above that, to be honest, because I think it's the sweet spot where they want that casual audience or that mum to be able to buy it for their family at Christmas. Mm-hmm. And they
that
want
mom.
Just the, that mum.
That mum.
Whoever mom, she may be. In particular, the famous
if my mum wants to buy me a new Switch for Christmas, I'll take it.
They're not going to sell it at a loss. I don't think that's Nintendo. They don't do that. But I think they can cut it fine to the point that they know that you're going to buy a Zelda or a Mario or a Metroid with it, and or a, whatever it is, Joy-Cons or a case.
Fire Emblem.
And they're going to make their money back. Yeah, well, no, not Fire Emblem. That don't. I don't know. I'm keen to see things like the price, because I don't want them to, like, skimp, because we have waited 5 years beyond when we thought we were getting a Pro. So I don't know, it's a mixed bag. I really hope they just go for it with this one.
I don't think I'm looking for... It's funny how, like, I've changed tone on this, but I don't think I'm looking for anything crazy like different to kind of what we've got now.
No.
Like if it was just
like PS4 had a, Pro levels.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like PS4
if it
levels.
Had just a bit more oomph and kind of closed the gap between it and say like a Steam Deck or like kind of, you know, any number of these portable PCs we get now, I'd be pretty pleased with that. Like I find myself constantly toying with the idea of getting a Steam Deck and kind of putting it off to wait and see what this Switch is. And if it closes that gap, like, reasonably at a lower cost and still has all the Nintendo first-party games, I reckon that'd be killer.
It's a hard one. I feel like I fell out of love with the Switch for a bit just because I was reviewing, like, the PC handhelds for the last, like, 18 months, like, yeah, which can play anything. But, like, going back to the Switch with Paper Mario and Luigi's Mansion recently, like, it is just nice to have, like, 7 hours of battery life, and, like, it just does things so well compared to all the other handhelds.
Yeah. Like,
so,
if they could improve the analog sticks, that'd be a huge win for me. Like, things that, like that.
And, like, if every AAA game was on it, I really think I would just take a graphic card over, like, a solid experience that I wasn't needing to update every 2 seconds with graphic drivers and a battery life that lasted more than 45 minutes. So,
yeah.
For me, it's not the Nintendo games. It's like we're not getting any third-party stuff on it now. And I don't want that to be a thing next year.
Yeah.
We say this every gen, but like, there's an action opportunity to have it be good in that realm,
yeah,
in my opinion.
Yeah. But, yeah.
I don't know.
But I'm pretty content with it just being like an indie machine, so, and first-party. So. But like the first-party games, like the next Zelda that's, you know, Tears of the Kingdom elk, like I want that to like look and play beautifully. That's kind of, I hope it's powerful enough to do that. James, have you got any thoughts on this move to combat scalping?
Not really.
No.
It's a solid think as long boy, as make enough consoles, no scalping.
Yeah.
Just yeah, I think obviously that just comes out of people really wanting it, which I think will happen regardless.
Yeah.
But then also they're not being supplied from primary sources, so as long as they,
yeah.
I wouldn't be surprised, actually, to see if Nintendo is strict with retailers about enforcing purchasing limits. Do
they,
you know what
just,
I mean?
Yeah,
like,
they
stop,
have
I think,
been
with online.
Before, right?
I agree, like, but I think, like, of all the publishers, Nintendo can maybe be a little bit more strict or stringent with people somehow. Like,
in saying all of this, like, if they can oversell like a million units or undersell a million units, like, you would, any company would take it selling out and like having stock shortages within reason.
Yeah.
Not to PS5 and Xbox Series X levels, but like you would be happy with it exceeding expectations. So it'll be interesting to see how this goes down.
Yeah, and Nintendo's been accused of creating like artificial supply shortages in the past as well, so
yeah, but is that, like, true? Like, I don't...
I feel
Mario.
Like the Wii, like, that was particularly pronounced. Yeah. This is a change
Wii,
in tone
though,
as well.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah,
it's hard to know, right? Because,
I
like, the demand for that was insane.
I do wonder if, like, it's going to have the same appeal as the Switch does. If it's just better visuals. Like, I feel like that's not necessarily...
I just think... We can see it going either way, right? Like, it's not a sure thing. It's a sure thing for us. It's not a sure thing for your average Joe.
It just depends
on
their
day one.
It just depends on their strategy with like how backwards compatibility works or forwards compatibility works. Like, people have to make the jump. Obviously, with Wii U, like, there was like no hope of sticking with the Wii U. People would have to jump to Switch. but like, I feel like with Switch to Switch 2, like, there's got to be, that's a very different dynamic.
I think a lot of it will come down to branding. Like, I don't, like, I think it'll be very much pitched
Switch
as like
U,
a new console. Oh, God, I
it
hope
needs
not
to be like Switch 2. The more I think about it, the more I think
saying,
it.
I reckon that's,
I think
the
Super
wrong
Nintendo
way to go.
Switch is still really cool. Like, I love that. It's like kind of cool.
I think
NES, Super NES.
I think they need to
pit.
Maybe Switch 2 works. Like,
no,
I sort
Switch
of feel like
shit.
Yeah, I don't think it'll be that.
Oh, okay.
I do like
it's just you can't go wrong with that. Like, you can't go wrong with PS5. Like,
yeah.
Oh, I see what you mean.
After
I get
the PS4.
Yeah.
That's what they would love
Nintendo,
the name.
Nintendo
sort of
2.
Nintendo 2.
Everyone's just always like, have you got the Nintendo around?
Like, does anyone else, it's probably just me, like, does anyone else get anxiety for when this actually does finally start happening and, like, it gets announced and then pre-orders are like that day? Like, I just have a weird energy.
Oh, that'll just happen, like, any day.
Well, it's Nintendo. Like, it could be tweeted in 30 minutes and it wouldn't surprise me with no warning.
I mean, I think
warning.
That's a unique anxiety to, like, us having to, like, report on it and make sure the articles are up.
Not even. But... As customers, like, what if we don't get one?
Yeah.
Well, the PS5,
We got so lucky with PS5. Yeah.
Yeah, like if you weren't up at 7:30 a.m., you didn't get one for like 2 years. Potentially.
Remember WA. In the US, like, the showcase happened, and then they kind of said pre-orders would be live tomorrow. So everyone in the US went to bed, and by the time they woke up, they're all sold out by the people that like stayed up past midnight.
And the rest is history. That's my legacy.
Yeah.
Cemented.
Anyway.
Yeah. Yeah.
Anyway, we're getting close. I feel to something happening.
It's exciting that even Nintendo is talking about shit like this, but also like just announce it, you dickheads.
Yeah, I feel like it's only going to be a couple of months away before we hear it.
We're gonna have if well, that's
are they going to announce it before Christmas though? That's going to be the weird thing.
They have to show it if it's in production at the levels they're saying. Like they have, it's going to leak.
Otherwise,
in terms of what
leak.
It looks like, so they're going to have to just show a teaser and what it's called. In my opinion,
it's just going
to
be so confusing for like the casual PM audience tonight. If they announce it before Christmas and then everyone goes in. And goes,
everyone has a Nintendo. Like, nobody's in the market for a Switch at this point in life.
People are. I don't want to talk for everyone, but
no. But people want the new one. If they announce it before Christmas, people will want the new one. And
I feel like if you're in the market for a Switch at $300, you're going to buy it 8 years later.
Like, it's not like the people who are in the market for a Switch now are caring about the newest Switch. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? Like,
oh, it doesn't have 4K.
Like, yeah, but no, it's like, well, you waited 8 years.
It's going to get, like, mainstream news coverage, though. Like, you know, on ABC News Breakfast, they're going to be going, oh, Nintendo announced their latest console today.
Yeah, the people that want it would just think, oh, the Switch would be cheaper.
Hell yeah, that's my Christmas shopping sorted. I'll go and get that for the grandchild.
That's not a bad thing for them, though, if they do that. Like, do you know what I mean? Like, it's fine.
Well, yeah, it's great for Nintendo, but I just feel bad for the EB Games staff that have to then field all the questions and go,
they'll leave. Anybody in particular, they'll be
fine. But I saw it on ABC, it's like, yes, it's been announced, but it's not out until March.
Waffle makers with some
can I interest you in this waffle maker instead?
Well, also people might be like, well, I want Mario for Christmas for my little boy, and then they'll buy a Switch, and then they buy a Switch 2 next year. You know what I mean? Like, that is a thing that might happen anyway. Like, I know what you're saying, Ewan, but I also think, like, it's
gonna be confusing
almost
no matter
a decade
when.
like there's no good way to do it.
Yeah, I suppose you're right. They have to.
You do it in Jan, and then people have just bought a Switch, and now there's little Jimmy's annoyed because there's a Switch 2.
It's like, what about all the people who bought Mirage and then find out Shadow's coming out this year? Like, they're like, do you know what I mean? Like, I don't.
Or you can play it on the Mac 6 weeks later. Yeah. They could have bought it on.
Yeah. It's more so like the timing of it, but I'm sure it's been done before, and I'm sure the EB Games staff
I
can
think
survive.
The Switch is going to still do well at Christmas, and so are all the games they've got coming. So I think they're going to have to bite the bullet, and it feels like a good time.
Yeah.
This week.
Put your pre-orders down for Christmas, you know? People can wait. All right, one final question. Let's try and make this one quick, because I'm conscious we're going long. But George R.R. Martin has been teasing an Elden Ring adaptation. I think he took to his blog or his website or something and was kind of just
some
like
panel somewhere.
Raving
I don't know.
About a bunch of stuff. Not writing books. He should spend more time writing books than his blog, I reckon. But anyhow. James, as someone playing a bit of Elden Ring, as we talked about at the start of the show, what sort of adaptation would you like to see of the game?
Anything, really. I mean, I know there's an anime coming, but I, yeah, I mean, I would.
Is there an anime coming?
Watch.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, there is. There's some kind of animated project. The teaser was Millennia, so I think the lore and the world is like rich. I think there are a lot of people who would really like the story of Elden Ring that don't want to watch a 40-minute video on how like two sentences on a potion like can have this. Do you know what I mean? Like, there's so much like really like big like lore reaching going on in a lot of these videos, which is like cool for like us sweaties, but like for real normal people. That's probably not the best way to consume a story. So
yeah.
I think like, yeah, I don't think that's a bad idea at all.
There's a sense of FOMO for me from not like having played enough of the game to like, I feel like I am missing out on this really
thing,
grand
though,
story
like,
and lore.
Ewan, I feel like you could finish it and like the person, there's no way for me to say this without sounding shady, but like the person that you are, I don't think it would really sink in. Like, I'm not being an asshole. Yeah, like,
I don't have the attention span. You're right.
I genuinely feel like you won't know what's going on. Like, and because you don't have the time to like go and watch some videos that unpack it all, and everyone's names are like the same. like Regala, Rilana, blah, 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 blah. Anyway, so like that's like
I've heard it's pretty incestuous as well, and like classic.
Yeah, which is like, you know, classic. Yeah, it is, and I do wonder how much, because he's always said he didn't do much of the DLC, I don't think, but he's done the world building, but not the actual story. So I don't really know. Yeah. I'm interested to always see like where that crossover ends and starts. But yeah, like I think it's intriguing and interesting enough for it to definitely work as like some kind of. I can see it being a Game of Thrones-esque adaptation.
Mm.
Just even the lead up to
like a TV series, kind of like, you know, like the years before, kind of talking about
like when,
like, yeah, because like,
you know,
the
ring isn't a ring, right? You know, it's not actually a ring. So like, I don't know, like the shattering of the ring into the shards and stuff. Like, it, like I feel like there's a cool story they could tell there.
Mm.
But yeah, I think it's a good idea personally.
Yeah.
I've seen some people who are, like, purists, who are like, no, it's, like, meant to be told this way. And it's like, no, I don't think...
Yeah, and, like, random like, that's notes not and stuff every... you pick up in derelict caves.
Or, like, you find, like, an old shoe, like, in a cave, and they're like, oh, that belonged to Marika, and she's
I've
the goddess
out.
Of...
What are you like, talking about?
Yeah, but that's what I mean, like, a 40-minute video on a shoe in a cave. Like, that's why I think that we need a TV series. For people like Shadow.
How the author intended.
Anyway.
Yeah, sounds good.
About.
All right, I have a rapid-fire question for you both as well.
Oh, was man, that not rapid-fire?
That was not the rapid-fire question. No, I just kept that one tight. But this is a rapid-fire question. A man in the UK has been jailed after being caught carrying a replica 6-inch Zelda Master Sword. Now, I didn't think that was particularly long myself, but I am curious, what video game merch...
It's an average length, Ewan.
It's an average length, yeah. What video game merch do you have that you no longer want to be seen with in public? Do you have some embarrassing video game merch that you're hiding from us? Shannon's reaching for something straight away.
Yeah, there's lots of things I could reach for.
You did kind of reach, like, below the waistline as well, so I was not quite sure what
my
we were about to see.
Does that have to be something I can leave the house with?
It's just something you're a little embarrassed with. Can you name something?
I have the Borderlands 2 loot chest in my cupboard. That's, like, pretty gross and embarrassing, I feel.
It's very much, yeah, not your brand, I suppose. That's...
No, it's not at all.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. I used to just buy anything.
Every time I use this, or it's dusty, this guitar, even in my house, I feel like a loser, so I definitely wouldn't be taking that.
Your guitar, yeah, that's fair. Imagine you just, like, rock up at a party with your plastic guitar. I'll provide the music for you, everyone. I'm sure there's a few I can name, but I distinctly remember having a Sackboy t-shirt that was him in the astronaut suit, and it was a massive print, like, full-size kind of print right to the bottom edge of the t-shirt. I think I wore it for a job interview when I applied for the Toys R Us job. That Star Fox statue's lit. You should be embarrassed by that.
I am embarrassed by this because it makes me look like
hat.
Like a weird furry. Like, why do I... Like,
it's true.
But anyway, this is my most embarrassing.
All I think my Order 1886 collector's edition probably was a regret as well. I'll name that one. Alright, let's play What the Wiki, the Press Start Podcast game show, where the previous week's winner is part of a Wikipedia page for an unknown game, and we, the contestants, must guess the game. A point is awarded for each correct guess, with a round concluding after someone has bagged themselves 2 points. Last week, James, that was you. You extended your lead up in first place on 22 points. Myself, Shannon, and Brody are all tied in second place with 16 points. Kieran is in third with 10 points, and Harry... bring up the rear on 5 points. So yeah, Shannon, we're gonna figure out who's in second place, you and I. But James, the show is yours. Take it away.
Hopefully James has been kind. Well,
I think I have been kind.
All Donkey Kong games.
Okay, yeah. We're just gonna name Donkey Kong levels.
I need a clean sweep again.
Yeah. Oh, God. Okay, these entries are kind of shit, so I apologize, but we'll see how we go.
That's the fun with the Wikipedia.
Yep. But why are they shit? That's the question. Maybe that's a hint. Maybe it's something we don't know much about.
Mm.
The game is an upcoming video game in a series published by somebody for a console.
Oh, so many blank spaces.
Okay. Yeah. The game has the player control somebody and features an art style similar to the a 2019 remake in the same series.
Ewan.
Players will con- Yes, Ewan.
Is this The Legend of Zelda Echoes of Wisdom?
Oh my god, Ewan, it is.
Excellent. Wow. Let's go.
Congratulations.
I wanted to say Echoes of Time so bad, but I knew that wasn't right. I keep getting that title confused.
That's fine. Okay. We're listening, both. Shannon, eyes up.
I didn't say anything about that game.
And yet Ewan got it. So
yeah.
Okay, so Ewan won, Shannon none. The game features a modernized third-person camera system. The main character is seen exploring environments seen Ewan. In the original game, but... Yes, Ewan.
Is this Silent Hill 2?
Let's go!
Wow,
let's go!
He deserved it.
I am living in your head rent-free, James. Rent-free.
Yeah, yeah, you are.
Literally.
Okay.
You should stitch that up.
Can we do the third one just to see
that if Shannon might have got it? That is a clean sweep. Let's go.
It is a clean sweep. But
bonus point.
Sympathy round for Shannon. The game is an action-adventure game similar to its predecessors and developed with an upgraded version of its engine, utilizing dynamic lighting and environment interactions with new enhancements such as breakable props and allowing players to manipulate shadow. Yep.
Dead Rising. Deluxe remaster.
Face.
No, sorry.
I don't know.
And use a grappling hook for parkour. The game's open world, whose size is comparable to that from a game in, previously in the series, progresses through seasons, each affecting gameplay, including frozen water, icicles in winter. Yes, Ewan.
Assassin's Creed Shadows.
Wow, Shannon, what's going on?
I've had a long day.
Yeah, okay. Anyway, that's just three games of many that I'm looking forward to this year.
Hell yeah.
That's why I picked.
Yeah, we got a bunch to look forward to this year. But with that, let's bring an end to what was this week's episode of the Press Start podcast. Subscribe to us on Listener or the podcast service of your choice. Follow us at press.au and visit the site at pressstart.com.au. Will the Nintendo Switch 2 be announced tomorrow? Will you see the article first on Press Start? We don't know, but it's going to keep Shannon awake all night thinking about it now. And we've been joined today by the man himself, Shannon.
Yeah, you can follow me at Shannon Rixty. Bringing you exclusive Nintendo Switch 2 updates on all social platforms.
And just doing a marvellous job posting what the wiki I have to say, James. It was, of course, James.
Yes, you can find all the updates about me and my finger on X at James, ATJMZ.
Isn't there, like, there's a thing about fingers in Elden Ring, right? Like,
there is. The filled finger.
Yeah. Do you think that, like, maybe...
I've got my very own.
Maybe it's, like, some curse.
I'm the chosen one.
The ring sort of thing, where it's, like, coming out of the screen and getting you. Is that...
No. Let's wrap this up, Ewan. Let's come.
And I've been your host, Ewan. You can follow me on socials at Ewan_Roxburgh. Thanks again for tuning in. And until next time, happy gaming.
Bye.
Bye.